I'd like to welcome everyone to our weekly edition of Dr. Sarah Molino Radio, and I am here with the Professor Emerita of Guilford College, and Professor of History and Women's Studies for many years, and thrilled to be here with her. Dr. Molino, how are you?
Fine, thank you.
Well, to say it's a crazy world and it's just getting crazier and crazier, when the President of the United States fires the man maybe most responsible for his election, some would argue, most mm-hmm. responsible for his election, the director of the FBI, James Comey, mm-hmm. after, mm-hmm. And again, correct me if I'm wrong, after the director asked for more funding to continue his investigation on Russia, mm-hmm. involving the president, of course, and the hacking and
right.
everything else. Does it get stranger than this? Is there anywhere in history that it gets stranger than this?
I think we have no historical precedent whatsoever for this, except in some people are making comparisons to the Nixon era. But I think also what Comey wanted was more staff in order to and some information from the president or papers or something like that. And so he wanted to dig more deeply into the issue. And so so that's the point at which Trump perhaps got very nervous and decided that he needed to get rid of this guy because he was going forward with something that Trump wanted to go away. So,
well, if you're just, not to cut you off, but if you're just talking politics and, mm-hmm. and the rule of politics is get rid of your enemies, you know, okay, then, you know, you want to say that the president made a political decision to get rid of one of his enemies. It's a little different when it's the director of the FBI and he's
right.
conducting an interview on you. And I think all of a sudden, I mean, red flags. I mean, I know people that have admitted to me that they voted for President Trump and they mm-hmm. supported him and whatever. And at this point, they're saying, whoa, wait a second. What's happening?
Really?
Yeah.
Well, good. That's interesting to know. You know, because I always wonder what people, how people are responding who voted for Trump. The one person I know I haven't spoken to lately. And so but otherwise, and then there are some people I avoid conversations about politics with altogether. But I always wonder, and I've wondered for a long time since the beginning of his, as he began to prepare and hired and chose all those Wall Street and corporate millionaires and billionaires to be part of his cabinet. I wondered what those people who thought Trump was going to help them thought about all of this, and I think that, you know, there are so many examples of his ignoring major sectors of our population, the Muslim ban, the recent version of the healthcare bill that passed the House, right? And now goes to the Senate. That is certainly something which is making the cost of healthcare higher for older people, and ignoring an enormous number of people who have been dependent on Obamacare to they have essentially taken away their healthcare, and I think it's really very, very sad that all the people that many of his supporters were people who had not succeeded yet or had a recovery or who were struggling in some way or another economically, who thought he would bring them a difference. And I just really wonder what those people are thinking or whether they're paying attention. And I heard on the radio that some of his supporters think he's doing a great job, but I can't imagine that, you know, poor farmer in Iowa or would say that, but I don't know.
Yeah, it's very strange times that we're living in.
It is very strange times.
And I think someone once said, may you live in interesting times. I don't know that they had this in mind, but this is certainly falls under the category of interesting times. If you're just joining us or just tuning in, you are listening to Dr. Sarah Molino Radio. Frank McKay here, proud to be with Sarah Molino. And looking at the present news in a historical, so we're trying to look at it of how it will play out in history is getting more and more difficult as it goes on. And I think, Sarah, one of the things that we really have to look at is obviously Trump made a deal. He has a contract with the right in the country, and he made this contract, and he said, look, elect me and I will do the right thing by you. And by the way, for the most part, he has. Now, he tried to take on healthcare, and even from a political standpoint, thankfully, he failed with what he was trying to do the first time around. He tried this this outrageous play, and he was set back. He made this contract and he got it through and he gave the health care bill they want. But guess what? There's almost no chance that it's getting through the Senate. I mean, it's
I certainly hope not, because it neglects such a huge percentage of the population, and it doesn't give health care to those people who really need it. To see it will cost more for seniors, and it will the categories of the pre-existing conditions. I don't know if you've seen this list. Have you seen this list of things that are covered? I was just shocked to see all the different things that are considered pre-existing conditions, which will not be covered. Things like ADHD. A fairly common diagnosis for boys in our culture. I mean, that's another.
I mean, the list
study is
a mile long. Actually, I mean,
it is.
It's
unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. And things like cancer. I mean, you know, one out of every four Americans has cancer. I mean, it really just excludes such an enormous group of people who really need subsidized health care. So I just, and that wasn't made generally clear. I saw it because a friend of mine put the list on Facebook, but it wasn't in the newspaper exactly what the pre-existing, at least not in my newspaper. And I read some stuff from the New York Times online, but that when they talked about the health care bill, they did not say what the pre-existing conditions were. And I just, then so it had to be dug out by those people who were really watching it closely. And I just think that is such, it's an attempt to put over a bill that, cuts the taxes on wealthier people and makes health care affordable for those who are young and wealthy, but for many other people. Young, wealthy, and healthy, I should say.
Those who don't need it.
That's right. Exactly. I think everybody needs it. I think what's going to happen. So I think it's really a shame. And these Republican senators are supporting it. It's just, Republican representatives are supporting it. It's just such a shame. And there have been confrontations between these representatives and their constituencies since that health care bill passed. And some of the representatives haven't been willing to talk to their constituencies. At all. So that I think is also very unfortunate for the democratic process.
Yeah, of course, and not to cut you off, but there are two ways to look at it. It's mm-hmm. a frightening list, the list of pre-existing conditions that right. that aren't covered, and it's disturbing. The positive yes. thing about it is that it's so disturbing that I don't believe that amount of senators, even from the Republican side, can afford politically to go down yes. the line with it. And because it's such an outrageous, well, most people would argue that there's some outrageous exceptions on there. I think it makes it almost impossible for certain senators that are up for re-election, even some of them next year, that right. they're going for them to vote on this would be political suicide. So that's the good news.
I hope so. I mean, I think they've gotten away with a lot of stuff, and their constituents, you know, are now at least the more vocal ones, and the ones who are showing up to these theoretical town hall meetings, are making their views clear. Does it mean all their constituents are upset about it? I mean, they at some point I read about thousands of calls being screened through many thousands of calls being screened through the House network. And I certainly called my representatives, although I don't, one of them voted for it. And there was an article in my paper yesterday about how a group of people went every week when he was supposed to have office hours, and they talked with his representatives, and they talked about the health care, and, you know, the people listened politely and then said, you know, we're done. Nothing happened. And Walker, it was Mark Walker is the name of the guy, who's in his second term as a representative. And he didn't speak to them at all. And his representatives just, you know, were blank faces and just listened to what the people had to say. Mm. Yeah. But it's such a shame. It's really a shame.
It's a shame. And again, for those just joining us, Frank McKay here with Dr. Sarah Molino on Dr. Sarah Molino Radio. And we're talking about the goings on of the Trump White House. And we are just days away from the removal of the FBI director, James Comey. And Jim Comey he does not have a lot of fans even on the left. But at this point, somehow, some way, the president has made him a martyr. And people mm-hmm. are, I think, perplexed. I think people are confused. I did a show, someone else's show in Ohio early mm-hmm. on today, and the host is a big Trump supporter, and he said, look, he said I agree that the media is out to get President Trump, but boy, does this guy give them ammunition to do it. And just and then he went off on, you know, for about 5 to 8 minutes on all of the what he thought were ridiculous and reckless things that the president has done to really? Antagonize the media. And this is, you know, this is a guy who loved him from day one. I just wonder.
Is really fascinating.
Yeah. Well, I wonder, you know, I see the numbers going south. I just wonder if this is going to have like a war of attrition type effect on him. Obviously, the media can't stand him, and he's going after the media, and they're going after him. But could the public eventually say a pox on both of your houses? Even people that distrust the mainstream media, mm-hmm. is there a chance that they say, "Yeah, well, look, they're out to get him, but look what he's done"? Is there a chance that can happen?
Well, I was listening to NPR. I always listen to NPR in the radio, I read some of the New York Times, and so I'm looking at what in the New Yorker and a couple other news sources online, Politico and so on. On NPR yesterday, there was someone who had been covering the White House for many, many years, and she said, you know, we are really struggling to do our job appropriately. Our job is to find out what's really going on in decisions that are made by the president, and that this White House is very complicated and confusing, and they different people say different things. And she said, I'm just trying to find out what is actually happening, and it's really difficult. And she said, this White House has made it much more difficult than any other White House that I've dealt with. And so she, you know, but she was very careful and apologetic about her, what the responsibilities of a journalist are. And I've read some other things too. I'm thinking I read something by Leon Pitts. Is it Leon or Leonard? Yeah. Which also said, you know, what is going on now is that we failed as journalists, that we paid attention to some of the superficial things that were going on in the campaign, but we didn't analyze it deeply enough. And we, you know, we need now to step up to the plate and really not play along with a fad or glib words that come across the television, but we really need to do serious investigative reporting. And we didn't do that during the campaign, and we should have. You know, I think that they were so shocked. I think, and he said this, that they were so shocked that Trump was the serious candidate that they didn't really analyze what he was saying in a serious way, and really didn't think, you know, didn't think he had a chance, and so they didn't, you know, they didn't really think about a wall with Mexico or a Muslim ban or anything like that. But he did talk about things like really vetting people who are coming to this country, and of course people who come in, you know, that people who are allowed to immigrate or seek asylum do certainly have a, you know, they have a very serious setting. I mean, Trump didn't know, I don't think, what the real process was and what it has been for a long time. So I just think, you know, that was a misinformed claim that he made, but those who supported him didn't analyze it and didn't study it and didn't try to find out what the process is. And so we kind of got the election results we got. So I just think it's too bad. And they said we also didn't study Hillary's campaign well enough either. So he was really feeling that the journalists were had not done their job properly. And it's very hard with all the information that's out there and things like CNN. CNN drives me crazy. I mean, I never watch it, I have to confess. Yeah. Yeah. But it drives me crazy because there are six things, there's somebody talking, and then there are all these lines of news across the screen. And to pay attention to all of that is almost impossible, I think. Yeah. I mean, maybe younger people can do it who are used to reading multiple things like that, but I think it's really hard. So I would watch news on NPR, on public television, if I watch news, but I don't ever watch it. I always read it.
Oh, listen, you brought up a great point. Let me remind folks that we got about 2 minutes left in this segment with Dr. Sarah Molino Radio, and we enjoy all of you listening to our thoughts here. Sarah, you brought up Leonard Pitts, and it's Leonard Pitts Jr., and he, you know, let's put it in perspective. He's a Pulitzer Prize winning commentator.
Right.
He is a nationally syndicated journalist. He's as good as they come, and he hit the nail on the head. I read and I heard the same thing that you said, and it stood out to me, and it stood out to me for this reason. Trump is a master at manipulation, and he gives shiny objects. He'll start talking about Meryl Streep, or he'll start talking about, that he had the largest crowd at the inauguration, something that really doesn't matter. And at the same time, then he passes a resolution, or he passes a, gets a law through that I honestly believe, Sarah, that it's going to take us a year before we know exactly what happened here. And the journalists have to be more on top of it. We got about a minute left. Do we have you for a second segment?
Well, let me get some more water.
I
can talk to you a little bit more.
You're right on. And again, to all of you listening, hang in there. Sarah's going to get a little more water, and we'll continue on a very important conversation. Frank McKay here on Dr. Sarah Molino Radio, and we're talking about the Trump presidency and what it means that James Comey is out, what it means that James Comey is out when he just asked for more money and more resources and more bodies and more time. For an investigation that, let's face it, is going to come, directly, to the lap of the current president, and the president fired him. Frank McKay here with Dr. Sarah Molino, signing off for now on Dr. Sarah Molino Radio. We'll be back right after this.